This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Hello and welcome to Around Macoupin County. On this weekend show, my guest is Tom Emery. He is a historical researcher and author, and welcome to the show, Tom.
Thank you, Rick.
Tom, you have a new workout. It's a two-part work and rather interesting. Maybe, I don't know what we would say, but it's not about a battle of the Civil War, because you're identified with writing pieces on the Civil War and so forth. It's just sort of an interesting work, and the two parts are The Drummer Boy of Shiloh, and the second part, The 133rd Illinois, 100 Days of Civil War Mischief. The Drummer Boy of Shiloh. Let's hear about The Drummer Boy of Shiloh, because, as you put it, there's a lot of questions.
The Drummer Boy Shiloh is one of the great legends of the Civil War. Depending on which version of the story you believe, it centered around a young drummer boy, young musician, who apparently rallied the troops in the bloody Battle of Shiloh in April of 1862. Now, this has been handed down through the years. It was made into a song, a play, and people still relate this story. Why this ties into Central Illinois in the title is that Carlinville can make a claim to the drummer boy by the name of John Clem, who is the most commonly accepted drummer boy, so to speak, the one that most people believe was the actual one. And apparently John Clem briefly attended Blackburn College immediately after his service. However, there are plenty of holes in John Clem's story. There's a lot of reason to think that he may not have been not only the drummer boy shot, but he may not have even been at Shiloh to begin with. On the other hand, over in Whitehall in Greene County, they make a very strong claim to the drummer boy in the name of Edward Hager, who was a young teenage farm boy who served in the 61st Illinois. He was mortally wounded at Shiloh. Whitehall has went to great lengths to keep his memory alive, and it's a very interesting part of the story as well. I want to take a look at all the facts and analyze who's got the greatest claim. Does anyone even have a claim? And try to shed some light on who the drummer boy of Shiloh really may have been.
Is there even a chance that the drummer boy of Shiloh is more fictitious totally than, say, who was he or who was he not?
Absolutely, and I address that. There are some writers that think that the drummer boy of Shiloh did not really even exist, that he was a fictional character. I cite one writer who believes he may have been a Confederate. As I say, Clem's story has so many holes in it, you would question whether he was even there. So, yes, there's absolutely room to believe that this is a strictly fictional character who did not exist in any form in real life.
How long did you research this, and some of how you went about researching whether there was a question about this man or that man?
Well, clearly, I've known about the story for a number of years. I worked for a little while on this. It really didn't take me too long to do. I went back to some of the primary sources, some more hard-to-find sources. There was a 1989 article which writer has appeared in Civil War Times Illustrated. That writer questions Clem up and down, and of course would make the Carnival Angle story non-existent. I think that there's just plenty of room for debate on this, no matter which way you've gone about it, and I think that's the fascinating angle of the story.
And that is exactly what you did. You took both, and you not necessarily present a conclusion, you present two opposing factions.
There's plenty of room for debate on this all around. There's just so much room for implication. There's a lot of room for error, I might say. And I think that being here in Central Illinois, this is hotly debated in some circles, because we certainly have a Civil War fervor here in Illinois. And that's one of the things that makes this really not only a fun story, but I think fun to read.
One more question before we move on to part two of the book. As far as the young man from Whitehall, why has Whitehall kept that alive? Because, as you said, there's a lot of writings about Clem. Why does the Hager boy get this claim? What brought Whitehall to come to that?
Well, the story started when he went off to war. Some people think he was 16. His tombstone has him as young as 14. Now, there's no doubt that Hager was at Shiloh. He apparently put down his drum in favor of musket and was mortally wounded. He died on May, I believe, 30th, 1862. He is buried in Whitehall in one of the more historic cemeteries there. Based on the fact that he was there, he was actually some type of musician. Frank, I think that might be a stronger claim.
And part two of your book, The 133rd Illinois, 100 Days of Civil War Mischief. And mischief is defined as how?
Well, I kind of turned the tables on that one. The story of Johnny Shiloh is rather heartwarming. The story of the mischief, that could be defined however you want it to be. Between trigger happy, poorly trained troops, womanizing, all sorts of horseplay and misdeeds that cast a different light on some things you see in the Civil War, which is one reason I was interested in the story. There are a lot of instances of bad behavior, depredations, things that do not reflect well on the honor and the glory that many Civil War soldiers, particularly here in Illinois, are known for. That's very underwritten and often misunderstood. I think 133rd Illinois is a good example of that.
To let the listener know, the 133rd served where?
At the Rock Island Barracks. The it was a leading Civil War, leading Confederate prisoner of war camp. They were a 100 days regiment. They were mustered in for 100 days service, and they performed guard duty at the Rock Island Barracks, otherwise known as the Rock Island Arsenal.
Now, what I find interesting, and I guess the reason in your work, it's Civil War in Central Illinois, is the 133rd was comprised a great deal of folks right around this area and county surrounding Macoupin.
All but one of the companies in the 133rd were Central Illinois men. There were a lot of men from Macoupin County. The colonel of the 133rd was Thaddeus Phillips of Carrinville, one of the five regimental commanders that Carrinville can claim. There are a lot of men from Sangamon County, Morgan County, Greene County, Menard County. There, one company was from the Champaign area. That was the only one that was not from Central Illinois.
When you talk about their, I guess, misdeeds, an example, is there examples in your work that might be interesting?
Well, they came to the idea that a soldier's primary duty consists of shooting, and they did a lot of that. They would shoot at each other. Several men were wounded or killed by their own shots, and mainly in horseplay. Instead of clearing their guns on a predisposed target, which was a wooden round nailed to a tree, they just shoot them across the river, and men who were working quarries along the river were sent scrambling for cover. The townspeople just about went nuts over this, as you can understand. And they talked about how their primary, if the prisoners act up, they'd shoot them. And they did that too. A disproportionate number of men who were killed by gunfire, who were prisoners, came from the 133rd Illinois bullets. So this was a trigger happy lot, to say the least.
Was there any court martial related things that went on with these men, or was it just sort of oops?
Research has shown that court martial records are singularly lacking, and I don't mean to pick on Colonel Phillips with this, because I certainly don't mean that he was engaged in all this stuff. I believe he was in over his head. He kept talking about the difficulty in ferreting out, and that word ferreting out keeps coming up in his writings, and the difficulty trying to ferret out the culprits, as he would say. And I think the man was just in over his head. I don't think he really knew what to do with this group. Of course, it started on the train trip up there when he had to write letters of apology to all the towns along the way for the trouble 133rd got into. So I think he knew from the start it was not going to be an easy ride.
And again, these men were only there for a short period of time.
They were 100 days regiment. They were one of the 100 days regiments that were formed in 1864 for additional manpower, and a lot of them did garrison and guard duty. They weren't there very long, but they sure made their mark, and I don't mean that in a good way.
Well, Tom, this booklet is now out and available where?
It's available at the bookshelf here in Carrinville on the south side of the Carrinville Square, as well as books on the square in Verdon, ABC Books in Girard, and you can get it by mail through History and Print by calling 217-854-3010.
For the listener, sort of a Civil War read without interpreting battle plans.
No, it's not. This talks about some of the topics in the Civil War that, like I say, I kind of ran the gamut in this one. You have the heart-tugging, you know, idea of a youth being possibly injured in battle, to a bunch of guys who just didn't play by any rules and left the city of Davenport and Rock Island in their wake.
And Tom, before we close out, you've been involved in a major project for well, we can say several years probably by now, but nearing completion, if you want to talk about that, it was your project with the Illinois State Library?
Yes. A number of people know that I received a Library Services and Technology Act grant to compile a large-scale history of the Illinois State Library with emphasis on the impact of the library on the lives of everyday Illinoisans. That project is nearing completion. That's in the final stages of graphic design and printing. That should be released in a few weeks. That is sponsored by the Blackburn College Library. That was a great project for me, and I'm really looking forward to that one being released.
How large is the work?
Well, my document was 350 type pages, also turning about 140 photos. This is going to be a full-scale book, to say the least, and it'll also be a user-friendly website with actually more information on it.
Is that website up, or can people not yet visit?
Well, we're waiting for the book to be printed, and then it should be up pretty much immediately.
Tom, I'd like to thank you for joining us on Around McCoupin County.
It's my pleasure, Rick.
And you can join us again next weekend for another edition. For WSMI, I'm Rick Davis.